Well, good morning, church family. Happy New Year to all of you. It's so strange to me to think that we are already in 2023. As I was a young child and I thought about what the future would be like, I thought we would have those sweet like hoverboards from Back to the Future by now. But turns out 2023, not that different than the early 2000s, it seems. So for those of you who don't know me, as Pastor Carl just said, my name is Chris, and I have the privilege of getting to work with the students here at Hope Community Church. And if you're new here and maybe visiting, I just want to take this moment here to just say welcome. So glad that you are here visiting us. And it is our prayer as the staff at Hope Community Church that you would experience the love of the Lord Jesus here this morning. And also, if you are new and visiting, as Pastor Carl just mentioned, I'm not usually the Sunday morning guy. Usually it's someone who is older and wiser and has more hair. And so if you're just trying us out, come back next week. You'll get a big boy sermon next week, okay? But you're stuck with me this morning. So with that said, please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Chapter 3 is where we're going to be at this morning. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to be reading specifically verses 12 through 16. So Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. And this is what God's word says. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect or mature, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think in this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. Lord Jesus, I remember the passage in John 17 where you prayed for all future disciples and you prayed to your Father and you said, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So, Father, we ask that you would sanctify us through interaction with your word, that your Holy Spirit would apply this passage to our hearts, that you would change our hearts. God, we can often be distant and Lord, calloused towards you. Please help us. Help us to love you the way that you deserve to be loved. And we ask this in Jesus' name and amen. So there are two basic questions that all of us ask throughout our lives. And the two questions are this: who am I and what is my purpose? And the interesting thing about these questions is they never really go away. I don't know if you've noticed this, but they never really go away. They come back up at different phases throughout our lives. For instance, if you're a young person like some of these lovely young people here in the front row, and you're either in high school or maybe just out of high school, you're asking these questions. Who am I and what is my purpose? What you're asking questions like, what school should I go to in the next year or the next couple years? You're asking questions, this boy or girl that you have a crush on, are they going to be the one? You know, you're asking questions like this, you know, who am I and what is my calling in life? And the funny thing is as I said, these questions never really seem to go away. The older that you get, if you are, a little bit older and you have teenagers in the home, you're asking, who am I and what is my purpose in life? and if you, as you get a little bit older, maybe you're in that phase of life where you don't have kids at home. This can actually be a very painful season of life because it's so different than what you've known for the last 18 years. And so you're asking this question, who am I and what is my purpose now in light of these new circumstances? And depending on who you talk to, one of the things that can be a little bit frustrating about these questions is that there's a lot of different answers that you can get in this world of ours. One of my favorite answers actually comes from the theologian John Calvin. And in his Institutes of the Christian Religion, he says this, that knowledge of self, which is what those two questions, they fall into that category of knowledge of self, and knowledge of God are inextricably linked. In other words, what he's saying there is that in order to be able to answer those two questions, you must have a right relationship with the living God. That's one answer that has been put forward. I think it's a pretty good one. I think it's a biblical one. But if we also live in 2023 modern Western America, and there is a cultural answer to this question as well. And it's encapsulated in the mantra, follow your heart. Follow your heart, and you will live happily ever after. Look deep within and discover the desires that lay within, and then give expression to those desires, and you will find true and lasting happiness. But there's a problem there's actually a couple problems with that line of thinking. The first is this: anybody who has done even just a tiny bit of self-reflection knows that our emotions, our feelings, go like this. Up and down, all over the place. The heart is not exactly the most safe determiner of what is true. I can tell you from personal experience, okay, that I can go from having a really good day to a really bad day, depending on the amount of traffic between those two points in time, okay? Go from the highest of highs to the valley of the shadow of death, depending on how bad traffic is on I-5. but the heart is something that is not to be trusted. And don't just take my word for it. God says this in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. This is the stinging indictment of the word of God against our own hearts. And he says this, that the heart is deceitful above all things. Deceitful above all things. And yet our culture tells us to follow it? This is not a wise way to approach answering those two questions. God, in his amazing grace, has given us his word. God has revealed himself to us. And it is not by looking inward that we find the answers to those questions, but rather by looking upward. By looking to the God who made us and loves us and has revealed himself and his will for our lives in his word. This is how we answer those two questions. And this morning, we're actually going to deal with the second of those two questions, that is that of calling or purpose. If you want to know your identity in Christ, I highly recommend you go to the book of Ephesians and just sit in chapter 1, specifically verses 1 through 14, and just soak in the beautiful biblical truths of your identity in Christ in that passage. But we're not talking about that this morning. We're talking about calling or purpose. Now, typically, when we talk about calling or purpose, we think of job or vocation. But this passage that we just read this morning is not talking about job or vocation. It's talking about a higher calling. indeed the highest calling that any one of us has on our lives. And the amazing thing about this calling is that God has this calling for every single person in this room, if you are in Christ. But before I tell you what the calling is, we need to talk about the context of this passage. Because in order to understand the message of this passage, we have to understand the context that this passage sits in. Okay? So in chapter 3, what Paul is, he starts off by actually giving a warning to the Philippians. So he's giving them a warning about this group of false teachers that were going to come into the church and were going to tell these Christians, you need to abide by these certain Old Testament practices in order to be a real Christian. In order to be really saved, you have to abide by these certain things. And so what Paul is doing is he is preparing these Philippians for this doctrinal error that they are going to encounter at some point. And he says, no, salvation is not in law-keeping. Salvation is found in Christ. It's found in faith in Christ alone. If you look at chapter 3, verse 9, he says this, that his desire is to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of his own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends upon faith. And so Paul is pointing the Philippians away from behavior modification to the heart transformation of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ is the one who saves. And then as you read a little bit further, in verse 10, you see him say this, that I may know him, that is Jesus, and the power of his resurrection, and I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain to the resurrection. And so we see that the context of our passage this morning is one of growth. Growth in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, growth in the relationship that Paul has with the Lord Jesus. And so, our main point for this message this morning, if you fall asleep at this point, here's what I want you to take away. In order to be a Christian who is growing, you must be pursuing God's calling. In order to be a Christian who is growing, you must be pursuing God's calling. Now, if that's true, then there's two questions that immediately pop into my mind. What is this calling? Because I want to grow. I want to be a Christian who's growing in my relationship with Christ. So what is this calling? And two, how do I pursue it? So what is God's calling? And how do I pursue it? Let's talk about that first question. Put quite simply, the answer to the first question of what God's calling is, it's this. God's calling on your life as a Christian and on my life as a Christian is this. To have a deepening relationship with him through Jesus Christ. That's the calling of God on your life, beloved of God. To have a deepening relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Look with me for just a moment at verse 14 and I'll show you this. Paul says this. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul states here that he is pursuing the prize of the calling of God for his life. He's pursuing this prize, this calling of God. And what's interesting actually about this phrase, the upward call, is if you actually translate it out literally from Greek into English, the phrase, it translates out to the call to come up. The call to come up. Now, think with me for a minute. Let me give you a little bit of an illustration. I think this is what the image that Paul is giving. Some of you may know that my wife and I, we have a 7-month-old daughter. And any of you who have kids or have been around kids, you know that they let you know, if they're sitting on the floor, they let you know as soon as they're ready to be picked up, right? They make it known. And so the image that I have as we in my brain as we talk about this call to come up is the image of when I pick up my daughter who's crying off the floor, I pick her up and I bring her into my arms and I embrace her and I say, come here. And this is the calling of God on your life as well. God has a calling for you, and it's to come and have a deeper relationship with Him. God is calling you to enjoy the embrace of His fatherly arms. And that, in and of itself, is amazing. When you think about this, this is the God who created all things simply by speaking. The God who is so infinitely holy that he cannot be in the presence of sin without judging sin. And yet we, sinners, because of Christ, have been invited to have a deepening relationship with the God who made us and loves us. That is amazing. Amen? So I got a question for you. Here's the question. I wonder if you and I, as we think about this last year, 2022, this last week, even the last 24 hours, I wonder if you and I, if we have the same perspective that the Apostle Paul has. Namely, that we see our relationship with God as a prize worth pursuing. As you think about your life this last year in 2022, do the decisions that you made, the way that you spent your time, do those things reveal that you prize your relationship with Jesus? I'm going to say something that's going to hurt your feelings, okay? I'm just going to prepare you. All right, so and you can email me afterwards with all of your angry notes. My email is carl@hopecc.us. Just kidding. It's bad to lie in church, people. Bad to lie ever. But if you're anything like me, the answer to that question of does the way that I lived my life this last year really reveal that I prize pursuing a deepening relationship with Jesus, the answer is going to be no at times. And that is really sad because this is the same God who not only created all things, but sent His one and only Son to die for your sins so that you could be with Him forever. This is the God that is calling us to know Him, inviting us to know Him in a deepening, intimate relationship. So let me give you a challenge for 2023, okay? Here's the challenge. You and I, let's encourage one another to make a conscious effort to grow in our relationship with Jesus this year, okay? Can we do that as a church family? Can we come alongside one another and encourage one another to have a deepening relationship with Jesus? And in God's amazing grace, one of the things that He has done for us is He has given us this. He has given us His Word so that we may know Him. God has not left us unaware and unprepared, but rather He has given us His very words to tell us what He is like and how He feels towards you and me. This is an amazing gift. And so because God has given it to us, we should be people of the book. We should be people who come expectantly to the Word of God, desiring to hear His voice. John Piper has famously said that we ought not to ever say that God is silent if our Bibles are closed. God is speaking every time we open the Word. But as this book that Pastor Carl is going to hand out to us, as it's going to point out, you know, are we listening? What is the state of our hearts when we come to the Word of God? Are we expecting to hear His voice, or are we just checking a box? So the calling of God is to have a deepening relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Okay? That's the calling of God on your life and on my life, and it's a good one. But now we have to ask the question, okay, I'm on board with that. I want to know God more. How do we do that? Right? That's the next logical question. How do we do that? Well, Paul actually gives us four things in this passage that help us in growing in our relationship with God, okay? I'm going to give you the four things in advance, and then we're going to walk through them. We're going to walk through them together, okay? So the first one is this, remembering who we are. Remembering who we are. Second, forgetting what is behind. Third, reaching for what is ahead. And fourth, holding on to what God has said. So we see here throughout this passage that Paul, the context is he's describing his desire to grow in his knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And as we just mentioned, he gives us these four ways that help in our pursuit of a deepening relationship with God. So the first one, remembering who we are. Look with me at verse 12 for just a minute here. So Paul says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect or mature, sometimes that word can be translated, but I press on to make it my own. And then if you have your own Bible, I would highly recommend you underline the next word, because. He says, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So Paul says here, the reason that I have this deep, passionate desire to grow in my knowledge of God is because I belong to the Lord Jesus. You see, Paul recognizes that he is someone who has been pursued by Christ. And because Paul has been pursued by Christ, his response to the amazing love and grace of the Lord Jesus is to pursue a deepening knowledge of this one who has loved him so extravagantly. That is Paul's response. He says that I am trying to know the Lord Jesus. I'm trying to grow in my relationship with him because he sought me when I was lost. He raised me from the dead, so to speak. You see, if you're familiar with the story of Paul, you know that his name was not always Paul. It used to be Saul. And in the book of Acts, it tells us that he was actually vehemently opposed to Jesus, vehemently opposed to the church. But then something amazing happens in Acts chapter 9. The Lord Jesus shows up and he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus found Saul, transformed his life, and now Saul, given a new name, a new identity in Christ, one who belongs to the Lord Jesus, spends his life pursuing a deepening relationship with this Savior who has loved him so much. And this is really helpful for us. We need to recall our identity. We need to remember who we are every single day. We need to remember that we are people who have been pursued and purchased by the Lord Jesus. If you are in Christ, you didn't do that. God did that. If you are in Christ, God worked in your heart, transformed you, brought you into his family, and adopted you. You, Christian, have been pursued by the love of the Lord Jesus. And the knowledge of this, the fact that you are someone who has been pursued by Christ, is what fuels your and mine, our passionate pursuit of a deepening relationship with Jesus. So that's the first thing, remembering who you are. But then there's a second thing here, where he says in verse 13, look with me, he says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own." In other words, I don't know Jesus as well as I want to. I don't have that, which is an amazing statement in and of itself when you think about this. This is the Apostle Paul who's saying, I don't know Jesus as well as I want to yet. But he's saying, I'm pressing on to know him more. And then he says, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." Let's talk about that first one, forgetting what lies behind. Now, for the Apostle Paul, we know that in chapter 3, what this is most likely referring to is his life as a Pharisee. If you read the beginning of the chapter, he describes his life as a Pharisee, and he actually says that, according to the law, I was blameless, right? So his whole life was one of law-keeping. But there was something missing from his old life. Jesus. Paul had an incomplete understanding of the scriptures because he was missing the interpretive key, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says that he's choosing to forget what lies behind. He's leaving behind his old life because that life did not have Christ in it. And in verse 8, he says something amazing here where he says this. He says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." In other words, everything else is way down here compared to knowing Jesus. He says, "I've suffered the loss of all things and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." I pray that God would help us to have that attitude. It's so easy for us in the mundane, everyday moments of life to consider other things more important. It's so easy for us at times, because of the sin that still dwells within our hearts, to make movements and shifts back toward the old life. But what Paul says here is he says that when you see the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, you want to leave the old life behind. Because Christ is better than anything else. And so, forgetting what is behind. But then there's the flip side of that, the next part where he says this. He says, and straining forward to what lies ahead. So reaching for what is ahead. Now the next question that comes up is, what's ahead? What lies ahead? Well, if you'll turn with me just for a moment over to Philippians chapter 1, we can understand a little bit what Paul is talking about when he says, what lies ahead? Chapter 1, verse 21, and he says this, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live on in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two." That is, whether he should stay and minister to the churches or whether he should depart and be with Christ. He says, "My desire is to be with Christ, for that is far better." So for Paul, what lies ahead is Christ. And I think this is helpful for us as we think about this calling of God to have a deepening relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Because this is the reality, is that you and I, we will only ever be people who are straining forward to heaven when we recognize the prize that awaits us there. Namely, unhindered, unending, joy-filled relationship with the God who made us and loves us more than we can possibly imagine. That is what lies ahead, Christ, and all the joy of being in his presence forever. But not only do we see Paul encourage us to be reaching for what is ahead, we also see him give us one last thing here, where he says, holding on to what God has said. Look with me at verse 15 for just a minute here. He says this, let those of us who are mature think in this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal, that's an important word, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And so Paul, he, in these last couple verses, is encouraging the Philippians to have the same mindset that he has, that is one of continually seeking a deepening relationship with Jesus. But he also exhorts them to hold on to the things that God has already revealed. And I think this is really helpful for us as we are pursuing a deepening relationship with God as well, because we grow in our knowledge of God and in our relationship with him through regular interaction with and a treasuring of his word. We grow in our knowledge of God through regular interaction with and a treasuring of his word. There's a book that I've been taking one of our students through called With All Your Heart, and in there he talks about the importance of meditating on the word of God, and he says this, he says that we should store up God's word in our hearts, that we should treasure it and we should keep it there, and then we should regularly take inventory of the truths that we are treasuring and storing up in our hearts. In other words, we should hold near and dear to the things that the Lord has revealed. Why? Because in his word, God reveals himself to us. Let me give you, so these four things of, you know, remembering who we are, forgetting what lies behind, reaching for what is ahead, and holding on to what God has said, these four things are ways that we can pursue a deepening relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But these things have to be put into practice. So I've been playing guitar for about 15 years now, but the first year that I played, I actually quit for a whole year because I stunk so bad. And one of the things that, one of the key components that was missing was practice. I really just wanted to be able to pick up the guitar and kind of like the Matrix, just have the skills downloaded into my brain and then just, you know, be able to play. But it doesn't work that way. You have to put things into practice. You have to learn chord shapes. You have to learn scales. You have to learn strumming patterns. And you actually have to put these things into practice. And through the Lord's providence, I wound up tearing my ACL a year later and had a lot of extra time on my hands. So I'd spend, you know, 6 to 8 hours a day practicing and playing guitar. And through that practice, I saw progress. Now, practice doesn't necessarily, it doesn't guarantee that you will become the greatest musician ever, but through faithful implementation of these practices, you see progress. And the same is true in our relationship with God. Through faithful implementation of calling to mind our identity, of choosing to leave behind the old life, the Christless time of our lives, and straining forward, running wholeheartedly and passionately toward Jesus and seeking to know him through his word and holding on to and treasuring these things that he has revealed to us. These things, as we put them into practice, help us in the growth process. They help us deepen our relationship with the God who made us and loves us. And so my question for us as we're thinking about this is this. As you think about 2022, as you think about the last year, even the last week, last day, are you or have you been putting in effort to grow in your relationship with Jesus? Have you been putting in effort to grow in your knowledge of this amazing God that you and I get the privilege of having a relationship with? If we're honest, a lot of times life gets in the way. We get distracted by having conflict with, you know, spouse, conflict with those teenagers. You parents of teens, you know what I'm talking about. We get distracted by these different things. And what is revealed by the ways that we spend our time, what is revealed by, you know, where our attention is focused, is the fact that we are not prizing the Lord Jesus the way that he deserves to be prized. And the wonderful thing about this being the first day of 2023 is it feels like a fresh start, doesn't it? Feel like we can start over and we can say, 2023, this is the year where we are going to grow in our relationship with Jesus. Amen? You know, the beginning of the year is always that time of year where you're like, this is it. This is the time I'm going to get in shape. You start, you know, you get the gym membership, and then you get about 3 months in, and you're like, you know what? Round is a shape. I'm fine with this. This is okay. It's that time of year where you begin your Bible through a year plan, and then you get to Leviticus, and you're like, this is a little ambitious. Maybe I need a 5-year plan. I say that just jokingly, but let me ask you another question. As you're thinking about this next year and this goal to grow in your relationship with Jesus, let me just encourage you to ask this question this week and this coming year and the coming months. Ask yourself this question. What habits am I putting into place so that I may know God more deeply? Okay? Ask yourself that throughout the year. What habits am I putting into place so that I may know God more deeply? And I'm going to give you a few options, okay? The first, this is going to be shocking for you to hear from the platform, okay? Read your Bible. You know, that is an option, right? That's a really good option for growing in our relationship with God. I've been taking some of our high school boys through a book called Habits of Grace. And in the book, he talks about how you can read for breadth. In other words, you can read large quantities of scripture, or you can study for depth. And he talks about how both of these things are necessary in helping us grow in our knowledge of and our relationship with God. Reading large chunks of scripture helps us to get an understanding of the big story of the Bible, and studying for depth, digging in the soil of God's word, helps us discover the treasures that are there. So that's one option. Another option is you could pick up a theology book. Anybody who knows me knows that I have too many. But you could pick up a theology book, and the wonderful thing about being part of the church for the last 2,000 years is you got a lot of really smart people who have written a lot of really good, solid things to help us understand our God and to help us grow in our relationship with him. And in fact, Pastor Aaron's not here, so I'm going to pick on him. But Pastor Aaron is virtually a walking encyclopedia of good theology books. So if you just shake him, good books will probably fall out of his pocket. Just kidding, don't shake him. Probably wouldn't like that. But another option is you can listen to sermons. We have years and years of Pastor Carl's and Pastor Aaron's sermons just stored up on the app. And Jennifer so diligently upkeeps that app so that you guys can enjoy those things. But you can also do a Bible study with your friends. This is an amazing tool that God has given us because, one, you can experience the community of the body of Christ and enjoy the truths of God's word all at the same time. So that's another option. Or you could join a home group, also highly recommended. Okay? So that's one option. Another one is you can study church catechisms and confessions. Now, I want to say just a side note, church catechisms and confessions are not on the same level of authority as Scripture. But just as theological writings can be helpful, these catechisms and confessions can also be helpful in maybe answering some questions that we have about this God that we get to know and serve. But I want to close with this. So this sermon, we've been talking about the calling of God, and we've said that it isn't the same thing as a job or a vocation, but rather this calling is an invitation. It's an invitation to know the God who made you and loves you and sent his one and only Son to die for you so that you would be with him forever. This is the calling of God on every single one of your lives. But I want to take a minute, and I want to recognize that when I talk about calling and purpose, some of you are wrestling with questions about jobs. Some of you are wrestling with questions about what school to go to or what person to marry. And I just want to encourage you with this and say that God, in his amazing grace, has given us the wisdom of his word to help guide us in these decisions. But not only that, God has also placed you in a church family where you have older, wiser brothers and sisters who can help guide you along the paths of life, as it were. And I would encourage you to take advantage of both of those amazing gifts of God's grace as you're wrestling with these questions of, you know, the future and what you should be doing. But more important than job or vocation or what you do to make money is the calling of God to have a deepening relationship with him through Jesus Christ. This calling must be prioritized above all other callings because it is the primary reason for which you exist. So know God. And as Michael Reeves says in his book, he says this. It's called "Delighting in the Trinity." We just read it as a staff, and it's really good. But in there, he says this. He says, "To know and grow to enjoy God is what you are saved for. To know and grow to enjoy God is what you have been saved for." So let us begin 2023. This new year, passionately pursuing a deepening relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you are so good to us. Lord, you are not some distant God who is unconcerned with the details of our life, but rather you are intimately involved in our lives and you desire for us to know you and enjoy you forever. Father, I pray that you would focus our hearts this year on you and on your love for us. And I pray that you would change us, that you would make us more and more like your Son. And we ask this in Jesus' name and amen.